It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. My partner, Kirk Elliott, sitting in with us as he does each and every Monday and Friday. We have a ton to talk about. So much going on this last weekend and so much to talk about. Kirk, how you doing, bud? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. Yeah, man, what a great race weekend we had.
Oh, man, it was great. There's so much to talk about. The World 100, the Hollywood Casino 400, the All-Stars at Port Royal. There is so much to talk about. Buddy Kofoid picks up a win out at Sweet Springs at the John Hinck Championships. A lot to talk about today. I don't know where to start. I think maybe we should start. Let's get it out of the way, first of all. Let's just do that. Let's get out of the way. This weekend out at Kansas Speedway, we had a really good weekend of racing out there. Other than the ARCA race wasn't so good. 11 cars finished that race, only 6 cars on the lead lap. ARCA proven once again, I hate to say it, as a former team owner in ARCA, ARCA needs a shot in the arm. It is really becoming quite the joke in motorsports now. Would you agree with me on that, Kirk?
Well, it's just, yeah, the 21 cars started the race, and you only had, what, six cars end up on the lead lap?
21 cars starting the race is a joke in itself. NASCAR needs to do something. If they want to, for people to take ARCA serious, then what they need to do is figure out a way to where people can get their cars as a complete roller, bring it home, put the components on it they need, like I did back in 2003. Bring a car home, it's a complete roller, put your springs, your bars, everything that you need, your lead on it, whatnot, put a fuel cell in it, whatever, and go and race it. But right now, they make it too difficult for these teams. And when I say that, They buy these old COT cars with the front stubs cut off. Now they have to put a front stub on them. Then they have to get all the geometry down. Do the ARCA teams a favor. Let them run a car that doesn't need to have a front clip put on it, doesn't need to have all this money spent on it. You know, back in the day, Kirk, to be honest with you, when I had my ARCA team, I bought my car for $16,000, a roller from MB2 Motorsports, a Kenny Schrader M&M's car. And I took it home. I put all the springs, sway bars, fuel cell, seat, transmission, shocks, and I put all that on it and went out and raced it and did pretty damn well with that car. It's a travesty to see ARCA suffer the way it is right now. NASCAR needs to do something a little bit different with it. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course, the big change now is NASCAR owns ARCA, which that wasn't the case when you were driving. Did they have like 30, 40 cars out there when you were running?
50. The first race that I qualified 11th, there was 57 cars there.
57 showed up.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, that's a big drop off.
Can you imagine? 21 cars from 57.
You know, and that's been this way for a while now.
Yeah.
The car count that's been showing up at these ARCA Menards races. They had more cars out in the dirt at DuCoyne, did they not?
Right.
Than they had
probably
show
did
up here yesterday. But anyway, Corey Heim, the winner. That's his second ARCA win at Kansas Speedway. They had an ARCA race earlier this year that Nick Sanchez won. But big win for Corey Heim. On a Sunday, this race was supposed to have been on Saturday night, but got rained out, so they gave the green flag at 9 o'clock. I just walked in, and the green flag was flying when I got there yesterday.
I wasn't quite that early, so just so you know.
Why doesn't NASCAR just make it easier on these, you know, ARCA teams that, you know, are maybe underfunded or want to be an ARCA team? You're making the big push to be a have the next gen car out. You have these Gen 6 cars just sitting around, maybe doing nothing. Maybe since it's a NASCAR, you know, owns ARCA, maybe it's a deal that NASCAR can work out with the Cup teams and the ARCA teams to just take old inventory of the Gen 6 cars.
Take the rollers and roll them right over there and make them legal.
Yeah, maybe you, I mean, you can't just give them to them for free, but, you know, what if it's a program they can work on? There's probably in this opportunities or things you could try and do, but also, too, I don't feel like there's a reward for having an ARCA team anymore. What does it get you?
It really doesn't get you much.
Exactly.
To be honest with you.
So, I mean, we can talk, sit here, talk about, you know, we need to give them the Gen 6 cars, but, you know, nobody is like it was 20 years ago where you're maybe you're a local guy getting a team and, you know, you have a good couple races and now look, you have a ride. It's
right.
You know, times have changed and it's far from it as it could be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let's move on from ARCA because that's just a pain in my ass, to be honest with you. I can't stand it. It just bothers me to no end. As a former ARCA team owner that had some success at that level, just a joke, to be honest with you. That's all I can say about it. All right, let's talk a little bit about yesterday, Kirk. Bubba Wallace picked up the win driving the 45 car and the same 45 car that won earlier this year, right?
You know, they brought all of the crew. I think the pit crew is what Kurt Busch had, but the engineers, the crew chief, Booty Barker, everything else was transferred over from the 23 team to the 45. So it's really Bubba Wallace's team. And, you know, really, let's be fair, Bubba Wallace was starting to run pretty well in that 23 car.
I would say
several weeks ago. So, I mean, he's been running well, so it shouldn't be any surprise he was able to pull off that win yesterday. He finished at the Southern 500 last week, and the way he's been running.
So basically what you're saying is, Kirk, that's the 23 car wrapped as the 45.
Yeah, yeah. Basically that's what it is. Yeah. They are using Kurt Busch's pit crew, though,
right
on pit road. So they combined all of that together. But, you know, we talked about it yesterday on the pre-race show, and there was a soundbite that we played from Denny Hamlin saying that, you know, he was asked a question that Daniel Suarez said that they, you know, yes, Kurt Busch won in the spring, but it's a long shot that he get into the top 20. And I was surprised that Denny Hamlin agreed with that, that, you know, as well as he qualified, he was certainly a favorite to compete at the top of the leaderboard yesterday, and he did. He ran up front all day long, past Alex Bowman, and that was a pretty solid win. There's no backing into that for Bubba Wallace yesterday.
No doubt.
He was the man.
He led 58 laps. Alex Bowman led 107 laps. Were you a little – listen, it's kind of like when I watched that truck race on Friday night. John Hunter Nemechek ran down the 42, and that's exactly what Bubba Wallace had to do. He had to run down Alex Bowman yesterday.
He did.
And from a long distance, and was able to pass him pretty easy, and then go on to win the race in pretty dominating fashion. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Bowman led the most laps the whole day. He looked strong the whole race.
Right.
And then getting into that long run, you could just see that 45 car starting to cut down the distance between Alex Bowman and Bubba Wallace. And just as that long run went on, you could see Wallace's car really coming to life. And once he passed Bowman, he was checked out.
Right. Toby says NASCAR shot themselves in the foot as a whole. Hi, Marie. How you doing? We're glad that you're listening to the show today. So, all in all, how would you judge that race yesterday, Kirk?
I don't think it was as good a race as what we saw in the spring here because we saw Kyle Larson bouncing off the wall and, you know, he looked like he had a more dominant race car, but there was a lot of activity, a lot of surprises in there to see Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch have the problems that they had. And Denny Hamlin had a problem on pit road. Otherwise, I think he would probably been the guy to beat. So there were some surprises to the guys you wouldn't expect to see that from yesterday.
How about Kevin Harvick? Another DNF for him. I think he's done.
He's in big trouble. He's got to win at Bristol this Saturday night, or he's out. It's simple as that.
Well, he finished 36 out of 36 cars yesterday.
Yeah.
And his car was tore up, man. I mean, that thing was beat up. So
yeah, he got up into the wall down there, and yeah. You do that with these cars, you're done. And Tyler Reddick had another fast race car.
Yeah,
and
until he got in
the
wall.
Was the pole setter. He got into the wall, and he dropped out of the race.
Yeah. So. You know, Austin, do you feel these cars are a little too fragile? Do you feel like that, Austin?
The suspension's too fragile. The car's too stiff.
Car's too rigid. Suspension's too fragile.
Well, you know, this issue is, you know, you see these hard impacts. You know, like the one that always sticks out in my mind is Austin Dillon at Atlanta. I think he got spun on the back stretch, came across track, hit the inside wall, and it was a hard hit, and you know, he got out and he was fine. But you know, it's like these cars, I don't know what style of tubing's in it. You know, I don't know if it's, I thought they had some square tubing in it in some areas, but maybe it's round. But you know, it's like the tubing that they have is so stiff that these little, like, small blows that it's taking and hits, it can't compress and absorb it. But you go out there and you smoke the wall at 180 miles an hour, it's going to take it. So I don't know, you know, what made them engineer it to be that way, or if that's a problem that they didn't think they were going to have. But, you know, Kevin Harvick's been pretty on him pretty hard here the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Kirk's got a great interview that Kevin Harvick did earlier this weekend where he was very critical of the race car and NASCAR himself, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a one-on-one interview by me. It was just kind of a, you know, crowd, some reporters crowded around, and Kevin Harvick had a lot of things to say about the fire and the safety of these cars.
Right.
And, you know, it's about 12 minutes and 30 seconds is how long that lasts.
Maybe if we get some time.
Maybe
a little later.
Yeah, later on, maybe you might want to hear it. It's pretty interesting to listen to.
So Denny Hamlin ended up running second. You think he was thrilled about running second to his own car? What do you think about that?
Well, I've got some sound that he explains that here a little bit. If you want to play that,
yeah, go ahead.
Coming up. So, yeah. How do you want to run this sound here? You want to hear from Bubba Wallace first, or Denny Hamlin first, or how do you want to do this?
Let's go with Bubba first, and then Denny.
All right. Let's hear from Bubba Wallace, the winner of the Kansas Lottery.
Actually,
it was the Hollywood Casino 400.
Right.
All these names, I got confused anyway. The Hollywood Casino 400 winner, Bubba Wallace.
Winning at this level is the hardest thing in life for us race car drivers. And, I mean, you know, to be able to say we're winners today here at Kansas through the year that we've had and what we've been able to do the last couple months is incredible. So I'm proud of everybody, proud of Booty, thankful for Denny for just continuing to believe in me and make the most of every opportunity. So to come out winners, I knew it was only a matter of time. I had a lot of people telling me that. And so it's finally cool to see it come to fruition. But two times is better than one time.
Hey, you know, it was cool to see Booty Barker wheel in there. Him up on the stage there, and he's a great guy. I love him.
Oh,
Booty
no doubt
Barker,
about
so.
It.
But anyway, you know, I was thinking once that Hamlin got past Christopher Bell, well, the race is over now. You got the owner of the car that's now run into second. There's no way that
he's gonna
Bubba
go
Wallace
up there and
is going to lose
Bubba.
Now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, did you think the same thing?
Yeah.
I thought it's over.
No, really, to be honest with you, I think Denny Hamlin would go up there and outrun his own car if he felt like that was the best thing for his team. I don't think any driver goes out there thinking, all right, I'm going to let my teammate or I'm going to let my car win the race because I'm running second. I can't believe that. I don't want to believe that.
He explains that here just a little bit, too. So he just wanted everybody to know that, hey, I want to win this race, too.
Uh-oh. Can't hear it.
Happened for the first time really this spring with Kurt. I kind of got a front row seat to him battling for the win, and the same thing today. I watched the 45 and I'm going up the field with him, and I see him passing, and I see him go take the lead, but then I'm really trying to get there. You know, I'm really frustrated from how our first 160 or 70 laps went. I was chewing the steering wheel pretty heavily, so I wanted to get there and get a win despite the, you know, all the adversity that our team went through today. But yeah, I like I said in my interview post race, I just, you know, there's no way that Bubba ever expects me to give him anything. He doesn't, he wants to know that he went out here and earned the win today and that was not given to him. My lap times, those last 20 laps proved that I was giving it every single bit that I had, but he just out executed us, out track positioned us and out carred us.
Yeah, Hamlin was pretty ticked off about some mistakes on pit road. We'll just put it that way. It wasn't Denny's fault, but, you know, there were some equipment issues and listen, some problems on pit road.
Denny's had pit problems many times over the years.
Yeah.
So, and he can't say much, really, to be honest with you, about the problems in the pits because he's been busted for speeding down pit road so many times, I can't even count, right? Christopher Bell ended up running third.
He did. He had a strong race car, and I thought maybe he might have a chance to maybe go up there and mix it up with Bubba Wallace there, but once Hamlin got past him, he had to settle for a third-place finish.
Really good. I just got, you know, a little bit off with my balance, and I wasn't able to produce the lap time I needed to contend. You know, tomorrow, whenever I look back at it, or Tuesday, I'm going to be very happy with the situation, but you know, I want to win. This series is very much about winning. And, you know, the Joe Gibbs Racing Group, Toyota Group, had the cars capable of winning, and they won the race, and it wasn't the 20 cars. So just want to win.
And he has got a winning race car. There's no doubt about it. He won at New Hampshire back in July, and I think he's plenty capable of getting up there in the top four when the season's over, don't you think?
Well, listen, let's be fair. Christopher Bell could win this championship.
Absolutely. I mean, he's running well enough to
I think Lee Spencer said it best yesterday. She believes that Christopher Bell will be in the Final Four. He's the fastest Toyota right now, in my eyes, if you look at it.
Over a long period of time, yes, right. I would agree with that. Right, he's been the most consistent.
Right. Is he leading the points right now? I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, He's going to transfer into the next round unless he has a big-time problem at Bristol. Even if he has an issue at Bristol, I think he's pretty well locked in to the next round.
Well, he's the only car locked in so far.
He is locked in.
Yep, the only car locked in so far.
All right, so Kyle Larson, he ended up running. He started seventh. He ran eighth yesterday. Not the performance that we were looking for Kyle Larson. You have some sound from him as well, don't
you? Yeah, he wasn't very happy about the way things went. He expected a whole lot more, that's for sure.
Yeah, I thought today, as an organization, was pretty good. I thought, you know, Alex was the best of the four of us. I honestly probably thought I was second best or, you know, close to Alex. I just didn't do a good job. So, and then as I got good track position finally, I was just really loose that run. And, that was our longest run of the day. And just hanging on until we got to the green flag stop, and just came out and felt really good that run. I just was tight, so I was comfortable with it. I was just stuck behind Ross. He wasn't doing anything wrong. I couldn't find enough clean air to stay turning to get close enough to him to get by. So ended up losing the spot to the 19, and just not a very good race for me.
Is Ross Chastain the guy that everybody kind of wants to beat up on? If there's anything close involving Ross Chastain, they're going to blame him for it, right?
Well, you know, he races everybody hard, and that's the problem. People don't like the way that he races other competitors out there, and I get it. But you know what? To be honest with you, Ross Chastain, Noah Gragson are fastly becoming two of my favorite drivers. I think they're both going to be Noah Gragson ended up running 18th yesterday.
And he won the Xfinity race on Saturday. The rain-shortened Xfinity race.
Right, right. So how would you judge the race as a whole, Kirk, before we get out of here and go to commercial break?
I enjoyed hanging out there. I watched on pit road, just kind of watched throughout the day. Like I said, I don't think it was as good as the one in the spring, but, yeah, I'd give it a B.
Mm-hmm. A B. Did you watch any of the race there, Austin O'Neill?
I caught a couple parts of the race. You know, I tuned in and out of it. The parts of the race that I did watch was on NASCAR's website. They offer. I didn't know they did this until yesterday. They offered like live in-car cameras. You could just tune in for free. So I watched Stenhouse's in-car for a while, Ross, Larson, and I can't remember the fourth one I watched, but I was actually inside the car when Ricky hit the wall off it too. So I watched about the midsection of the race, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. I'm not going to complain when we have, 17 different winners now?
Yeah.
18
winners.
Yeah. So
that?
Not going to complain, you know, after seeing that stat.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I thought it was a pretty good weekend out at Kansas Speedway. Let me just say this about Pat Warren and Kansas Speedway. They do a remarkable job. The entertainment, everything they do out there, they do it first class.
Yeah, that is Lee Greenwood doing the God Bless the USA, and had Craig Morgan out there. And I was walking around out in the grassy area through all the pre-race stuff and the national anthem and everything.
You didn't see the opening act, though, because we were on there.
Yeah, we didn't see Craig Morgan because, we were doing our show at that time.
Deidre was out there.
She covered that for us.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. It was a beautiful day out there, and the crowd was bigger than what we saw in the spring.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of other things that have been going on. Talk about Anthony Macri coming from 19th to win at Port Royal. We want to talk about Jacob Allen's win at Gold Cup. Jonathan Davenport just knows how to get around Eldora. We're going to talk about that and more when we come back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Can't thank them enough for being a part of our podcast here each and every day. So we want to thank Brandon Bernstein and all the great folks over at Lucas Oil Products that believe in the racing boys. Kirk, I think the biggest story of the weekend for me is Anthony Macri coming from 19th. Now, let's step back a little bit. Brian Brown and him got together a little bit. Do we have video of that? Can we pull the video up of that? Austin, I hate to throw that at you real quick. I probably should have told you during the commercial break that I wanted to look that up. But I thought what happened between Anthony Macri and Brian Brown, I'm going to put the blame a little bit more on Macri than I would Brian Brown. Brian Brown made a nice slide job, slid up in front of him, but then Macri kind of ran up on him and hit him with his right front to left rear and kind of took himself out of the race. And I know Anthony Macri wasn't too excited about it.
Yeah, this happened in the heat race earlier in the night.
Right, here we go right here. So put it up on the screen there real quick. So here we got, we've got Brian Brown trying to make a move on Macri, going down into turn one. He does his patent slide job. He gets in there. It's clean. Macri had to let up a little bit, but right there, Macri runs up there and hits him in the left rear. Does anybody else disagree with me that that was more of a Macri problem or was that a Brian Brown problem? Let's start off with you first, Austin, because you're a sprint car driver. Let me ask you what you think about that incident right there. Macri obviously wasn't happy about it.
No, you know, Kirk and I watched it earlier, and when I first watched it Saturday night, I felt like it was more of a racing deal than it was, you know, right, one driver's fault. But, you know, we talked about this, you know, when we first talked about it earlier. If you're going to put blame on somebody, I think you have to put more blame on Anthony Macri than you do Brian Brown.
Right.
Just in the fact that if Brown's slider was dirtier than what it was, it wasn't dirty really at all.
It really wasn't dirty.
I mean, he cleared them with maybe a half a foot to a foot of clearance between the rear bumper and the front bumper. The slide job was textbook. It made Anthony check up a little bit. All that was fine. And the only thing that happened kind of out of the normal was Brown got free off of two, and he kind of chased the car down a half a car length. And I don't know if Anthony anticipated it or caught it with his eye, if he was focused on, you know, something further down the track. And it just, the right front jumped his left rear. And, you know, it's when the front ends up like that, you're going to correct it, you know, in that split second. And I think if Anthony doesn't try and correct the car, you know, when the car comes back down, it doesn't have that violent turn to the right.
Right.
So, you know, it's maybe a situation where, you know, Anthony, you just got to kind of know where your right front is. But also, too, I mean, that's just, it was just, you know, close, hard racing.
It's a racing deal.
Yeah.
More so than anything, it was a racing deal.
But if you're going to try and put blame on someone,
it's got to be
Anthony,
on Macri,
but you can't give him hardly at all, any blame at all.
Now, we watched a lot of races this year with Macri at Port Royal Speedway, and he likes running that outside and shooting down off the corner down that back straightaway. Did you think for a minute that Brown, that he'd have room to pass Brown on the outside? Brown just kind of slid up just a little bit.
No, there was no room there.
But did you think for a second, for a split second, that Macri thought there was going to be a run to the outside on Brian Brown?
Brown was clearly up in front of him. There was no room to go around him on the outside.
Yeah.
And they both were on the top, and so there wasn't like the start of the feature when we saw, you know, Kyle Thomas try and slide Danny and leave Danny two car lifts, you know, to drive around him with. So, you know, they were both going to the same spot on the track, and that was the top. So I don't – and you saw the attitude of Anthony's car anyway, you know, was pointing down towards the, you know, the bottom of the track. So, you know, maybe for a second, if Brown doesn't carry a slider to the top, that he thinks he can drive around them on the outside, but – everybody, you know, knew that, you know, Brown was committed to slide them, you know, all the way across the track.
Well, let's know this for a fact, that Brian Brown, when he does a slide job, he's going to take it all the way to the fence. He's not going to let somebody kind of thread the needle and get around him on the outside.
Exactly. That's right. What Brian Brown does. But it just seemed for a split second that Macri thought maybe there might be some room on the outside to get past him. But there wasn't there. You know, as a race fan, I love that happened because it forced Macri to start 19th in the A main, and we were treated to a hell of a run up through that field. And we've seen Anthony Macri do that many times at Port Royal Speedway, and it didn't disappoint again on Saturday night.
I felt there for a bit that I thought Danny Dietrich was going to win that race. Did anybody else feel like that? Did you feel like that, Austin, that the 48 car was going to win?
You know, I think Danny, you know, when you watch that race, I feel like Danny had the car to win the first half of the race. Right. You know, if we're racing the first 20 laps and, you know, that's what we're going to call, you know, the first race, I think you could say Danny would win it. But, you know, you look at what his car did after the break, and it was free there for the first couple laps. So I'm really not sure, you know, what they did to it or if it was something, you know, maybe he was doing wrong. But, you know, normally when you add some fuel to the car, it's going to make it tighter anyway.
Right.
So I was kind of confused on or questioning why he was that free on the restart. But, you know, it kind of, you know, came back to him a couple laps later. But, you know, I think if that race maybe goes green to checker with no brake, maybe he has a car. But anytime you can let, you know, Logan Wagner or Anthony get close to you and work on their car, even Brent Marks, let them work on your car, and they already have, you know, maybe more speed than you do, it's going to be hard to try and hold on and win the deal.
Hey. Logan Wagner, I thought, might have had a chance to win that race as well. Anybody else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Logan Wagner, like Macri, knows that Port Royal Speedway better than anybody else in the field. And we've seen both Macri and Wagner go at it time and time again there. And absolutely, once Wagner got up into position up there, sure he had a shot at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he had good speed on that restart, and he got by, you know, McIntyre and Brent and to Danny, you know, they're, you know, pretty quick. You know, he didn't spend much time. I mean, he drove his second in the first half lap. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, he's going to be a five-time track champion here soon and, you know, won this race last year. So, you know, I figured the race would hopefully be over. I kind of wanted, you know, Wagner to win the deal. But, you know, you watch Anthony kind of get that run on him. And he took the air. I've never seen this before, but he took the air off of you know, Logan's car. Down the front stretch, and it, you know, you saw it kind of wheelie up, which it just shows you how strong, you know, dirty air can be on half miles.
Yep.
So, you know, and it kind of, I think it might have upset, you know, Logan's car there for a couple laps because it's just, you know, he missed his marks, kind of fell back there for, you know, a handful of laps. But yeah, anytime you let, you know, Anthony get close to you and, like I said, work on their car and make it even better, you're not going to let the kid, you know.
They talked to Danny Dietrich after the race, and he was not a fan of that halftime break.
No,
he didn't want to see that at all. But you know, the one other guy that I was impressed with Justin Whittle, he had a great run. He started seventh, ended up
fourth
in that race. So hats off to Justin Whittle. Terrible crash. Dylan Cisney And that fire that happened. Danny Dietrich was one of the drivers that got out of the car
and ran back there and tried to put him out. Yeah.
How's he doing? Has anybody heard Dylan Cisney, the aftermath of that?
Have you heard anything on that one, Austin?
I haven't seen any other information.
Normally you'll see stuff start circling around on social media, and I haven't. Right. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, well, let's hope he's going to be okay. Was anybody a little disappointed with the effort of Brent Marks? Did anybody else think that Brent Marks was going to be a player? You know, he ran second. He started fifth. But did anybody think that he was going to be one of the guys you were going to have to beat during that A-Main?
Yeah, and he was. He turned out he was one of the guys he had to beat, except Macri was just better than he was.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week with Blake Anderson. You think, you know, a good night to Anthony, we would think, is a win, and a bad night's like second or third. So, you know, I think it's kind of right on course with how his season's going. He's just right there always for challenging for a win. And, you know, he ran down, you know, Danny there right at the end of that first 20 lap run. Yep. And then he stayed right with, you know, Anthony for the last about 10 or so laps.
Yeah, he was close.
And then
close.
He just kind of broke away. Then he got by, you know, Macri got by Logan Wagner. Wagner kind of backed up to Brent Marks. So, you know, I think, you know, he had a really good car. I mean, if your car's not good, you're not going to, you know, run in the top three at the Tuscarora 50. But, yeah, I think it's just, you know, a decent run for him.
Yeah.
Can we all agree that Tyler Courtney is happy to move on from Port Royal Speedway, the points leader? He didn't really have that great of a weekend there, did he?
He was kind of, you know, mired out to the backside of the top 10. I mean, with 12 to go, he's running 12th. So, you would figure he would have a better run, but I've never really seen, you know, Sunshine have good speed and good finishes at Port Royal the past maybe year or two.
Yeah. And Lance DeWeese came from 20th to 6th in that race. He passed Brian Brown there, so he also had to come from near the back.
He did really well, but a lot of experience with Lance DeWeese at that racetrack.
He's run well at Port Royal.
I want to give a shout-out to Ayrton Jennington. He made the A-Main and got into that feature. That is a stellar field of cars right there. And that's a huge accomplishment for Ayrton to get into that race. Would anybody else disagree with me on that?
Yeah, his first time at Port Royal, is it not?
That was his first time, wasn't
it? First time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was multiple times where, you know, he was close to going a lap down from Anthony Macri or I think Logan Wagner and Danny there for a couple times just the leaders in general in the race. And, you know, he was able to kind of drive back by him and then, you know, had yellows, you know, benefit him. And, yeah, I mean, he stayed right there around the top 15 and was stayed on the lead lap for, you know, the entire race. So I would consider that a win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Our two Show Me State guys did fairly well. Both of them made the A-Main. Yeah. Brian Brown started 9th, run 7th. Ayrton Jennington started 18th. He ran 18th. So I think that's pretty good for our local guys that went out there and tried to do that. Brian Brown's got a lot of experience out there in the East, so he knows how to get around those racetracks as well.
That Port Royal Speedway just never disappoints. Another great show this weekend out there.
Yeah, no doubt. Who was the biggest disappointment out of all those guys that ran that race? Who was the biggest disappointment out of everybody that made that A-Main? We'll start with you, Austin. Who do you think was the biggest disappointment?
That's a tough one.
I'm going to say Gio Selzy. He started 4th, ran 16th.
Yeah, that would be a definite, you know, big disappointment. His stuff, you know, had to go backwards on that halfway break. You know, I figured Lance would drive up to the top 5 at least, you know, and get that a little closer to the front than he did.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was a disappointment run because, I mean, still Lance drove from deep to
20th to 6th, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Sunshine. You could give it to Sunshine or Justin Peck. You know, they had Peck had some good speed the first night. I didn't really remember where he ended up the second night. And, you know, you run back in the top 15 area. 12th to 15th. I figured he would do better, and yeah, he's been on a pretty good hot streak right now with winning just about, you know, any race, and you know, here the past month or so. So
yeah,
I definitely would maybe give it to Peck.
Yeah,
mine was Rico Abreu. Started in
sixth and ran 13th.
Yeah. So I thought he'd run better.
Yeah, no doubt. Rico is, man, he is so good at what he does. I guess we're always a little disappointed when he doesn't run up towards the front, because we always expect him to do that, right? He is such a talented race car driver. I'm sure he's disappointed with his effort that he had there as well.
Well, also, too, I didn't catch it till I rewatched the broadcast again, but Rico lost, I think it was a left rear shock, maybe.
Oh, and it went through somebody's nose wing, didn't it?
It went through Logan Wagner's top wing, and then there's a picture circling around on
with
social
media. With the tape
media.
On it.
There's a shock sticking out. It's like stuck under the first support brace on the top wing. You can just see it sticking there. So, yeah, it did some damage to
Logan's car. How dangerous could that have been?
Very.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes down, 18 inches lower, and it hits
you right
level.
In the face.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, let's take our next break here, Austin, real quick, and we'll be back with more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. When we come back, we're going to talk Gold Cup, World 100, and we'll also talk about Buddy Kofoit's win at Sweet Springs, I should say, the John Heat Championship. All that and more right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We appreciate everybody tuning in today. We want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to be going on through October 1st. They've got videos, memorabilia, all kinds of great race cars that raced at Ascot Park in Gardena, California, man. It was just a great venue. Unfortunately, it's no longer there, but they've got a great track tribute. Again, it's going to be going on through October 1st. And don't forget, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week. 7 days a week, I should say. And if you want to go up there, Sunday they're open. They're only closed on the major holidays, and that is it. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Check out all the great race cars and the memorabilia and all the stuff that is going on about Ascot Park. Again, that's going to be going on through October 1st. And while you're there, you can purchase a raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X Chassis Sprint Car. This is a complete 410 race-ready sprint car, folks. And I'm telling you, it's worth a lot of money. And you can buy these raffle tickets. They're going to give you $25,000 on top of it to help with the taxes as well. So if you can't do it at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. And if you don't like doing it online, you can always give them a call and do it over the phone at 641-842-6176. Again, that's 641-842-6176. And if you have a chance, tell Bob Baker that the Racing Boys told you about it, would you?
Big week at Knoxville this week. Late model fans, get it there. Check that out.
Yeah, that's going to be a
lot of great exhibits up there at the Hall of Fame.
I will not be there because I will be at the best race of the year, the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. Kirk, you're not going to be there this weekend. You're going to go up to the late model race.
I'm going to go to both events. I'm going to go to Wheatland on Thursday night and then Knoxville on Saturday night.
But Saturday night is the best night of the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial.
You know, you got to pick and choose here. So
there's no way that I would go anywhere besides the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial.
I wished I could be at both, but you know, you'll have things covered in Wheatland on Saturday night, and Ryan Ragland and I will be up at Knoxville.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Gold Cup. Jacob Allen picks up the win. Man, it took him a while to get that race started, didn't it? Man, there was a lot of cautions at the start of that race. I think they tried three times to start that race, didn't they, Austin?
Yeah, it was like two times. Max Mitri jumped the cushion in two on the first lap. And
I think it was three times.
Yeah, of course, we would start talking about it, and I would forget what actually happened. But yeah, it was
I wrote it down three times.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Okay, all right. Sorry. So what did you think about that race? Jacob Allen was definitely the man to beat, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. We say Jacob Allen. I mean, he had a really good car. He was able to kind of, you know, get out and walk, not really walk away. He had some pressure from Macedo and Sweet there for a handful of laps. But, you know, I think if you're talking about the fastest car all weekend long, I would have to give it to Corey Day. You know, the kid came from the first night. You know, Corey came from, like, almost 18th, 20th.
Didn't he have a flat, and then he come from the back and was working his way back to the front, and then... Then he got together with another car, and he got stuffed into the wall, right?
Yeah, so after his night one run, which he came from like 20th to 10th and jumped the cushion, did the same thing twice and got back up there, he started about the same spot as he did on night one and drove up to about the top 10 area. And then I don't know if it was a wheel center broke. It's only that I can really think of because the axle tube looked like it wasn't hurt because they put a new wheel and tire back on it. He went back out and finished the race. So I think it might have been a wheel center issue. Well, kicked the right rear tire off of it after he was up, you know, a couple laps into the race after a really good run to the front. Got it fixed, came back out, and had drove back to the front within like five laps. And it's just probably the fastest car on the track at that point. And then ran over Kerry Madsen. So, yeah, if he doesn't, you know, have that wheel issue, you know, the issue with Kerry Madsen probably doesn't happen, and he might be sitting with a top five finish.
Right.
You know, after that race.
You think he was fast enough to win?
If he started up front, maybe. It was too much to try.
He started 24th.
Yeah. I knew it was way back there. So it's too much against that field maybe to win that race. But, man, if he doesn't have that issue on the first night where he makes a mistake and gets over the cushion, causes a yellow, and gets some points, and as a start 24th, I mean, he might be sitting there with Jacob Allen, Macedo, and Sweet battling out for a win.
I got to say this. The cut at the end of that race was brutal. I mean, they had the up-top camera shot. Logan Schuchart, Jacob Allen come down to the start-finish line. He beats him by 0.005 of a second. And they had the most awkward cut, didn't they, Kurt?
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm thinking, okay, stay with that top camera because that's the better angle. But they flipped it. They switched to the other camera down towards turn number one, and we saw the finish, but it wasn't near as good a shot.
It was a bad angle.
But, you know, to Dirt Vision's credit, they came back with several replays of the good shot that we could – really see how close that was. And that, my friends, was a photo finish. 0.005 of a second between the Shark Racing teammates, Jacob Allen and Logan Schuchart. They asked Schuchart, he said, okay, if that had been anybody else, Chase Rodman asked him that, okay, if that had been anybody else, would you run him up in there, you know? And he admitted, yes, if that was somebody else, I would have played that differently, for sure.
Yeah. Did you see that awkward switch?
That was awful.
That was terrible.
I was watching it live, and they don't use the camera shot hardly at all, you know, all night long. I think maybe they used it during track prep.
Right.
But
it's a cutaway shot is what that is.
It was behind the grandstands. You couldn't see anything. And, I'm glad they came back and owed it to the fans and replayed it a couple times. But, yeah, that was – you know, Dirt Vision is pretty good about making really good calls on
they
their
are.
Cuts.
They're the best.
But, yeah, I don't know what the guy was
Director
doing.
Director made a mistake, that's
he,
all.
He made a mistake.
It happens.
That's really all it was.
Yeah, it happens to everybody in the business. So, Sheldon had a pretty good run. He started ninth. He ended up running fourth. Carson Macedo, little disappointed in his run. I thought that he was going to get up there and mix it up for the win. Anybody else?
He did for a couple laps.
Yeah.
You know, he was him and at the start of the race, it was him and Allen going at it. And then he had some yellows and it kind of shuffled, you know, Brad Sweet up there to second. And then it was Brad's turn to run down Jacob and it left Macedo in third. Then we had some more yellows again and it's like it switched again and it shuffled Schuchart and then Macedo. So Schuchart to second, Macedo stayed back in third. And they were all kind of right there together. I think if they don't have that last yellow and they get into lap traffic a little quicker than they did, and it forces, you know, Jacob Allen and Schuchart to kind of start racing each other and backing their pace up, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Macedo, you know, sneak in there. We saw in the last lap when they actually showed us a replay of the finish, and he wasn't but two car lengths behind him coming
right.
The checkered.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, especially, you know, after the way Carson Macedo ran on Friday night, you certainly thought he was going to be a favorite to win on Saturday night. But, you know, the Shark Racing cars were just a little bit better.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk a little bit about the World 100. To be honest with you, I hate to even say this, but I am getting sick and tired of watching Jonathan Davenport win. Anybody else?
He's kind of like one of these guys, anybody but Davenport, huh?
Are you with me, Austin? Or do you not mind seeing somebody dominate through the year?
I don't know. It really doesn't really bother me that much. I mean, I'm not
surprised.
The guy's
won nearly $2 million.
Yeah, I'm not surprised when I turned on my race pass and saw that he won.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I could see how some people are tired of seeing him. Everybody hates to see a repeat winner. But, you know, he can go out here and dominate this year and win over $2 million and come back next year and not win a race. So I think he just kind of, you know, let it run its course, let it do its thing, and then, you know, it'll be different next year.
I thought there were two guys that maybe had something for Davenport. Brandon Overton won, and Chris Madden the other.
Well, Overton took the lead there for a little bit.
He did.
Yeah.
He took the lead, and he said at the end of that race that he was on seven cylinders that a plug wire came off. He said that in his post-race interview. So, obviously, that would have an impact, especially on restarts. But, you know, really, Davenport was the dominant race car. And he was just a step above Overton and Madden.
I seen on Twitter this morning that Davenport said that was the same car that he won the million with.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I mean, if I was Lance Landers, I would not let that. I would not let that be the same car. I would park that car in the corner of the shop and put a tarp over it and never race it again.
Because it won a million.
Yeah, I mean, that'll probably never happen again, you know. But
I don't know, man. I'm kind of opposite of you on that. I'm thinking that if I won $1 million with a race car and it was so dominant during that race that I would want to bring that same car back. Just because I know how good it is at Eldora.
Well, for sure. Or you can be like Brian Brown and have a really good car and go junk it at the Knoxville Nationals kill your Nationals.
Well, that's
true. Now you killed a really good car, too.
Yeah, but this is a whole separate race. This wasn't the night before. The thing about what happened with Brown is he ran that at his crew chief's. Listen, Danny Lasoski did not want him to run that car at the Capitani, right? And we know that. But if you have a car that's sitting over the corner of the shop and it won $1 million at a racetrack, why wouldn't you want to take that back and run it again? You can always repair the car if you crash it, put it back together, set it over in the corner if you have to.
I'm with you. At Eldora, if that $1 million car is sitting ready to go for the World 100,
I'm bringing it out. Yeah, me too.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Because you can fix the car if it, you know, you can restore it and put it back in shape. As good as that $1 million race car was, yeah, I'm bringing that out for the two crown jewels in September for sure.
I want to give a little bit of a shout out to Dale McDowell in the 17M car. He started 25th and he ran 8th.
Yeah, he always runs good at Eldora Speedway. Right. Dale McDowell, a former World 100 winner, he's won the Dream. At one time, Dale McDowell always seems to run well at Eldora Speedway.
Well, and how about Tim McCready? He started 13th. He ended up running 4th.
He did.
Yeah.
So he had a pretty good finish to that race. But it was all Brandon. It was all Jonathan Davenport on Saturday night at Eldora Speedway. So, I mean, let's count all of the crown jewels he's won this year. The $1 million race, the Silver Dollar Nationals at I-80, the USA Nationals at Cedar Lake, the North-South 100, the
Crazy.
Topless 100, and now the World 100.
Hey,
how about that year?
Hey, Austin, did you just see how Kirk Elliott's mind worked right there? Did you just see that?
Yeah, it's nice.
That guy's got a memory like an elephant. You were better back in the day, though.
Yeah. Well,
you're getting a little older.
The less I remember.
You're getting a little older.
You know, at one
but
stretch. Yeah,
let me just tell you. Let me just say this before you say any more, Kirk. When I first met Kirk Elliott, he could remember the day, the laps, everything about any race that he'd ever been to. He could give me the complete rundown of that race when I first met you.
Yeah, but I'm not as good at that now.
You're still pretty damn good, bud.
Getting too old.
You're still pretty good at it.
At one stretch in August, Jonathan Davenport started on the pole and went wire to wire in three straight 100-lap races, three weekends in a row. I mean, that's absolutely
crazy.
Incredible. And the one thing about Davenport, though, for him to succeed at all these big crown jewel events, he's had to get good starting positions. So that means all the preliminary events, he's done well enough to put him in position, because in the dream on Wednesday night, he had to come from way back, and he didn't win that race. So if he gets a good starting spot in all these races, he's won them. But he's also had to do well in the preliminary events to make that happen.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I want to give a little shout-out to Seth Bergman. He picked up the win down at Caney Valley. It was a rain-short race. They only got 15 laps in. Matt Covington was second. Blake Hahn was third. And if I remember right, Blake Hahn has opened up his lead with the ASCS National Tour to 81 points. And now he's 133 points over Matt Covington. Matt Covington has leapfrogged over Tim Crawley. Tim Crawley's dropped down to 171 points out of the lead. Matt Covington is 133 points out of the lead. Does anybody feel like Blake Hahn's got a hold on this thing right now, or do you feel like that there's a chance that Wayne Johnson could still overtake him? What do you think there, Austin?
We'll see how it goes after this week. You know, it's a big week. It's
big weekend.
A lot of opportunities to not make the show and not get
or get
points.
Tore up.
So yeah, it's three opportunities. You know, three nights, and you know you got to get through. You know, qualifying, your heat race, your qualifier, and hopefully you're not sitting in an LCQ or a B main. So there's a lot on the line this weekend, and you got to have your best stuff together and be on your game.
Yeah.
Blake Hahn had a good run up at the Clay County Fair in Spencer last year. I think he finished second to Matt Covington.
Yeah.
So he had a history of running pretty well up there. And these big events, like at the Lucas Oil Speedway and the Short Track Nationals coming up, I think this is being teed up for Blake Hahn to maybe do this again.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he did. So, all right, Buddy Kofoid picks up the win at the John Heek Championships at Sweet Springs, Missouri. Dason Persley came home second. Zach Dom was third. Did anybody watch that race?
I did. You know, Kofoid, he started, where was he, back in fifth or sixth there? I don't have the sheet in front of me right now, but he ran fifth there for the longest time. Then he got up to third, and then Zach Dom, he went to the high side. Kofoid went up to the high side of the racetrack. Dom was keeping it down low. Those two guys went at it. That was quite a battle there for a little while before Dason Persley was able to get by Dom for second. But Buddy Kofoid, who ran eighth on Friday night at Sweet Springs, pads his point lead by coming up with the win on Saturday night.
Yeah. Pretty nice little racetrack out there. Hopefully they can keep that thing up and running, going.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, it's
we hear the car counts down a little bit.
One of the great micro tracks and all the country, and they've had these USAC races over there for the last few years, and it's been pretty good action. You know, for the longest time, they didn't have these big event USAC midgets come to Sweet Springs. It was just primarily just a micro track, and that was it.
Yeah.
So by having some of these higher profile races come into Sweet Springs, it exposes what we've always known about Sweet Springs to a lot more people out there. And it's a great facility, and, we just hope that the future looks bright.
And Cameron Key picked up the Outlaw Non-Wing race as well. So, all right, well, there you have it, folks, another show in the books. Tomorrow, we hope that you'll join us right back here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, we hope to see you tomorrow. come back and join us, would you? It'll be great to hang out with you and talk a little bit about racing. That'll all be tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.